Today, let's talk financial advising, retirement and tax strategy. Where do you put your money? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because today will help you build your legacy with the fire on the wall.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Fly on the Wall Finance. I'm Jamie Malm. I'm the owner of Iron Horse Financial, and today we're talking about one of the biggest estate planning changes Kansas has seen in decades. On July 1st, 2026, there was a bill passed called the Community Property Trust Act. Now, before your eyes glaze over, because that sounds super boring, it can be super impactful for married couples, especially married couples that have highly appreciated assets. But it's not right for everybody. So we're going to talk through what the new law is, how it works, several real life examples, why maybe you wouldn't want to do it, which is sometimes just as important as why you would. I will say before we get started, this podcast is for educational purposes only. Estate planning, tax laws, they're complicated. Before you make any decisions, you always want to talk with your attorney, your CPA, your financial advisor. But let's jump into what this is, what it might mean to you. Kansas has never been a community property state. What that means is when one spouse passed away, that spouse's share of jointly owned property received what's called a step up in cost basis, but only that spouse's share. The surviving spouse's half generally kept its original tax basis. This new law, the Community Property Trust Act, gives married couples another option. However, instead of making this an automatic thing where everybody is automatically opted in to considering all property, community property, it allows married couples to voluntarily opt in by creating a community property trust and then transferring certain assets into that trust. If the trust is properly created and maintained, then couples may receive a full step up in cost basis when the spouse dies. That's important. That can dramatically reduce future capital gains taxes if those assets are eventually sold. So again, it's completely optional. Nothing changes automatically. You have to intentionally create and fund one of these trusts. So I think the easiest way to understand this is looking at an example. So let's imagine Jim and Susan, they purchased rental property, let's call it 20 years ago, for $200,000. And today it's worth $1 million. Without planning and before this new bill passed, let's say Jim dies. We have $800,000 in gains. Only half of those gains would receive a step up in cost basis. So we have $800,000, only half gets a step up in cost basis. If Susan doesn't want to maintain that property, she doesn't want to keep the rentals going, she wants to sell it, she would still owe capital gains tax on a significant portion. Her half's $400,000. She's still here. So she would owe $400,000 or owe taxes on $400,000 in gains. Now, what's changed? Let's assume that same property was owned inside a properly structured Kansas Community Property Trust. When Jim dies, the entire unrealized gains get stepped up to the fair market value. So instead of having half of the unrealized gains that Susan has to pay taxes on, she gets a full step up. If the value at Jim's death is $1 million and she sells it for $1 million, then no taxable capital gain. That's potentially an enormous tax savings. This also works for investment accounts. So let's take the same example. Let's say they have an investment account that they have built over the last 30 years. They started with $300,000. Today, it's worth $1.5 million. That's great. That's also over $1 million of unrealized capital gains. If one spouse dies and those investments are inside a qualifying community property trust, that entire account receives a full step up in cost basis. That means Susan, as the surviving spouse, now instead of owing any gains if she goes to sell those assets, let's say she needs them to live on, she has a full step up. Now her $1.5 million is her new cost basis. When she goes to sell those assets, diversify the portfolio, she has dramatically reduced any kind of tax consequences. She's probably almost eliminated them, right? That flexibility makes planning much simpler and tax advantageous for couples. We also see a lot of people that have maybe family cabins or something, that vacation homes, something of that nature. Same thing. Surviving spouse doesn't want to keep maintaining it. They'd rather sell it, move closer to grandchildren. With a full step up in basis through the community property trust, selling that cabin may create little or no taxable gain compared with how it worked before. I had to sell property that retained decades of appreciation. That could be a hefty tax bill sometimes when you go to actually sell it. So who might benefit most? Well, generally speaking, I would look for, do we have appreciated rental properties? Do we have investment accounts held outside of retirement plans? So I'm not talking IRAs, Roth IRAs. This would be non-qualified brokerage accounts. Vacation homes, farmland with substantial appreciation, maybe family businesses, commercial real estate, any assets that have significantly increased in value that would be subject to capital gains. The more appreciation you have, the greater the potential benefit of receiving that full step up in cost basis. So you might be thinking, well, why wouldn't it just be automatic? Why would Kansas make you opt into this? Well, sometimes people think tax savings and think, yep, sign me up. But there are situations where a community property trust may not be the right fit. Community property generally means that both spouses have ownership interest into those assets placed into the trust. If a marriage ends in divorce, that existence of community property could affect how we divide that. Obviously, no one creates an estate plan expecting divorce, but we should plan for possibilities, not just probabilities. We also may have second marriages. Maybe one of the spouses inherited family land or something from her parents, and it is intended to pass to only her children from that prior marriage. She intentionally then wants to keep it as separate property, contributing any kind of assets that you intentionally want to hold separately into the community property trust can create some unintended consequences depending on how the overall estate plan is structured. So that might be why you wouldn't want to do it. Family farms would be a great example of that. We have countless multi-generational family operations here in Kansas, families that have been operating it for generations. Sometimes we want that ground to stay with one side of the family. Sometimes there's siblings involved. Sometimes there's buy-sell agreements in place. We want to be cautious that while there are tax advantages to using the community property trust, we ultimately want to weigh those benefits against what do we want to have happen with the succession planning? What are the goals with the land? What are the long-term ownership objectives? That's definitely an area where individualized legal advice matters. So one question we get asked, should I be putting my IRAs into this? IRAs obviously aren't joint property. They are individual requirement account, retirement accounts, but they also don't have the same tax treatment as IRAs or Roth IRAs. They follow their own tax rules. So those are not the assets that we're talking about. Biggest opportunities are taxable assets that have appreciated over time, not your qualified retirement accounts. So one thing that I would consider is, do my spouse and I have any appreciated real estate? Do we own rental properties? Do we have joint investment accounts? Do we have other taxable assets that are jointly owned and we want them to be jointly owned? We don't intend to keep them as separate property for any reason. If so, then this new law is absolutely worth discussing. Potential tax savings could be huge, but decisions should never be based on taxes alone. We should have a conversation about ownership goals and family dynamics and children and business succession and all the things that go into planning. So if you're thinking, hey, this might be right for me, I'm not quite sure, now would be a great time to schedule a conversation with your attorney, with your CPA. If you're one of our clients, this is something that we are happy to help with. We have our team of attorneys that can help set this up. We've got our team of CPAs and CFAs that can answer any specific tax questions you might have. So hopefully you found it helpful. I know it can get a little technical when we start talking about tax treatment and estate planning. But bottom line is this could be a huge benefit for any married couples that own joint property. If you found the episode helpful, I hope you join us next time. Subscribe. You'll get automatic updates when we drop a new episode so you don't miss any future topics where we break down complex financial topics into practical conversations. Thanks for joining.
That wraps up another episode of the Fly on the Wall podcast. Join us next time as we continue the conversations and bringing you behind the scenes in the world of finance. And don't forget to stay connected with us on your favorite social media platforms and subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And we will see you next time.
All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Opinions expressed are solely those of Iron Horse Financial Services and staff. All topics covered are believed to be from reliable sources. However, Iron Horse Financial Services makes no representations as to its accuracy or completeness. This commercial shall in no way be construed as a solicitation to sell securities or advisory services to residents of any other state other than Kansas or otherwise permitted. Topics should be discussed with your financial advisor prior to implementation. Advisory services offered through Iron Horse Financial Services, a registered investment advisor in the state of Kansas. Insurance products and services are offered through Iron Horse Retirement, an affiliated company. Iron Horse Financial Services and Iron Horse Retirement are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency.